You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hey, you're listening to Adulting with Horses, the best place to be if you can't be at the barn. We are your co-hosts and equine authors, Heather Wallace and Natalie Keller Reinert. As crazy horse girls, we don't take ourselves too seriously in the saddle or out. We celebrate the things that make us different. Join us as we talk about horses and pop culture and get a little weird in a fun way. Thank you for being a little weird with us. Here we are hoping for less technical difficulties. We've been awash with them recently.
Well, Mercury is station direct, so we can't blame retrograde anymore. But
so it's really just me.
Everything over the past 2 weeks in my life has been beyond mayhem. Like me, the people in my life, an entire week-long vacation that was upended multiple times. Like,
oh no, really?
Yeah, it turned out fine, but it has been nonstop drama. It was just like, I'm gonna make this plan, and then I'm gonna wait to see how much of it falls apart. There was no expectation that anything would ever go right at any point.
You know, I kind of live my life and then expect the unexpected and you'll never be disappointed. So I understand that too. Because as we're recording, I've been up since 5 in the morning. The cat slept. It was the dog that woke me this morning. And I have a oral migraine, so like I can't see right now very well.
Oh my God.
That's on to Excedrin. And I have I'm 24 hours post a gardening incident.
Oh yeah, we need to talk about the hand. The left hand is completely wrapped in pink vet wrap. Stunning. Obviously,
I've done this before.
In the brand color, so everything is 100%.
I can't even flip people off with my favorite finger right now.
Oh, gosh. You've lost some of your vocal abilities.
You know, so this is such a me story. I was laughing. I went to dinner last night with a friend of mine I haven't seen in since the pre-divorce. And she's like, what the fuck happened to your hand? And I was like, this is very me-coded. And she's like, were you riding? I said, no, of course not. Like, I planned to ride today. So this happens yesterday, right? Because I'm like, look at me. I have free time. I am awash in early mornings with these animals. And so it's like 6:30 in the morning yesterday. Deadheading flowers and cutting back some of the things and, you know, just enjoying pre-pollinators, no heat in the garden. And I look over, I said, ooh, I need to fix that. And I reach over and my shoe gets stuck on my bistro table. And I go flying face first.
What?
Into the garden bed. Catch myself, you know, on the concrete and like stone or whatever, and scrape like two layers off of my hand, my writing hand, by the way, my massage hand and writing hand.
Oh my gosh.
And then thankfully was able to secure the table so it did not come down on top of me.
Oh my goodness. That's insane.
And
that's actually insane.
It gets better. I was in a house dress. I was in a muumuu. Okay.
So granny's going flying.
Fully embracing the weird girl aesthetic. I walk in, so I'm like shaking, but years of horse riding has taught me to just deal with it later.
Deal with it, yeah.
I'm shaking. I get up immediately, head to the sink where I, trying not to scream as I'm cleaning the debris out of my freaking open wounds. Oh, and I'm like, God, do I need stitches or do I not? And I made the game time decision of maybe no stitches.
Yeah.
Still debatable whether that was a good choice.
Gosh.
And and I text my kids, hey, girls, I have to go to the grocery store this morning. Mommy had a little accident in the garden, so I could really use your help. And to their effect, not a single one was like alarmed because they're so used to my shit.
Right. They're like, oh, mommy had an accident. She's got shears poking out of her arm or something.
She must be okay.
Yeah, it's fine. She's texting, so she didn't even yell up the stairs.
No.
No, it was a text.
So here's a question. So we we have an event in a week's time. Mm-hmm. Will you be wearing very stylish gloves to hide the, you know, mangled wreck of your hand?
Assuming I could actually write. Yeah, that's super. And I'm thinking to myself, I did think to myself, wow, I have a book signing in 2 weeks. This mm-hmm. is lovely. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, this should be healed in 2 weeks. Like, you know, it's going to be bruised and I'll have divots in my skin. But as long as I don't need antibiotics, I should be good to go.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find some antibiotics. Come on.
I know a guy.
Yeah, exactly. You're connected.
His name's Delight, and he has things on hand at all times. No, I'm just I do not recommend that to people. FYI.
Amazing.
It's a joke.
Yeah. We're in an antibiotic season in this country, so we can't give people any ideas. They'll be a radio attacker.
Yeah, no, so it's been great. Mm-hmm. So now the garden bed I was about to dig is on pause.
Yeah. My garden, so I got home from vacation. I was gone for 8 days, which is a really long time. I don't even know why we were gone for so long. It was insane. And, like, we were talking in the house. We're like, you know, I think I'm sure the squash are done. I'm going to pull out the squash. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I walked out last night. The squash plants are all gone. They, like, dissolved.
They got eaten?
No, they're just gone. They just vanished. I swear.
did your farm sitter know to water them?
It rained. We got 2.5 inches of rain while we were gone, so okay. We had and it was humid the whole time. And I guess it,
so they just molded.
They just literally, yeah, they just turned into dust. Oh, floated God. Away. I was so surprised. I'm like, where the fuck are my squash plants? They're gone. It's weird.
So now, tell me, where did you go? Like, I know you were in Saratoga for the book signing, which, yes. we want to hear about, because I heard it went really well.
It did.
And then what else did you do?
Oh, my God. So I started in Saratoga, did a book signing at Impressions of Saratoga, and it was great because it was, okay, so Saratoga, first off.
Such a cute town.
The sky was yellow. And
oh, the Canadian wildfires.
The wildfires. So 2 days before we go. Maybe the day before we go, I'm watching my favorite weather show, and because I have a favorite weather show,
of course,
and
you do.
It's so good. And the host is like, he does this thing where he just looks for interesting things on the satellite, like one does. And he's like, "Look at this! Are these fires? This is so weird." And we're watching, like, this is so weird because there's this image of just, you know, a regular piece of country, and then there's just dot 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 all these smoke plumes start up. It was really bizarre. And I said, oh my God, that's coming for Saratoga. And sure enough, you know, 3 days later, we're in Saratoga and we're walking around outside. I have very dark sunglasses and I was not wearing them, but it looked like I was wearing them. It was so yellow orange outside and just weird, almost like we were midway through an eclipse. Like, it was just, ugh. And the one good thing was it kept down the temperature because it was supposed to be super hot. And it couldn't get hot because the sun couldn't get through the smoke. So there was that.
That is nice. Zoe was up in Saugerties signing. And did definitely get hit by that. She had to, they had to pause schooling and riding.
Gosh, I'm sure. Yeah. But, you know, people came and, you know, friends just came and hang out, which was really cool because it made like a party atmosphere on the sidewalk and everybody had a really good time. And I'm just like super appreciative of everybody that came, and we sold a ton of books. And then, you know, I had a day at the races, and then we went to the Finger Lakes and we saw Death Cab for Cutie for like the 14th time. So that was amazing. And it stormed like hell while we were there. There was like crazy weather and wind damage and they had to delay the concert. And it was just like, what is going on? This is a very weird trip to upstate New York. First it's, you know, apocalypse, and then it's storm apocalypse. What's next? Well, I'll tell you what's next. We went to Buffalo. We were supposed to stay in this really cool Airbnb in Buffalo with our whole family, but our whole family couldn't come. It was just Corey and me. And the really cool Airbnb was A, terrifying, and 2, scary. It was both of those things. And so we just
horror
left.
Movie vibes.
We went to Canada. We said, goodbye, United States of America. We can't take any more of your shit. And we went to Canada. And I say that lovingly, but it was Because we were in upstate New York, which is great. But
you know,
everything
Canada
was
originated the wildfires,
extra.
Right?
Like, yeah, but it wasn't smoky that day. So, and we just felt like, I just felt like Mercury was too retrograde in the U.S. and I needed to see if it was slightly less so in Canada.
and the vote is?
Yeah, it actually was. It
Canada was better.
It was okay. Much less retrograde. It had already stationed direct to Canada as far as I could tell. Because we said we were going to do things and then we went and we did them and they were fun.
And then it actually happened. Yes. I think it's funny. You and I were both in upstate New York at the same time.
It's so funny. That's so bizarre.
It's very weird. Like, so when you were up doing impression, well, right before you went up to Saratoga, my daughter was doing a freshman camp experience at one of the SUNY schools outside of Rochester. So we had to drive 12 and a half hours to go to, well, round trip, I will.
What? Oh.
Have it. We drove up the night before, stayed in a hotel. Now, mind you, I brought the cats, the kids, and my little Mazda, and checked Cameron in, and then drove back. And then 2 days later, Zoe went up to Saugerties. And 2 days after that, my other child and I went and met her so we could help out with the show. And I'm not going to lie. The first day she showed was the Tempest day. It was the storms.
So that was, yeah, that was the day I was in the Finger Lakes, which was gorgeous. And I have nothing but good things to say about the Finger Lakes, but I did like sleep most of that day because it was just stormy and it just kept storming. Yeah. Like
I had the cats in a stroller that day.
Oh my God. It would like blow through and I'd lift my head and whoo, that was a big rainstorm. And then there'd be another crack of thunder. I'd be like, okay, yeah. Head back down on pillow.
Well, so I have to tell you, which is kind of funny. So my Zoe was the one showing and then her twin came with me. And we stayed in a tiny house because the hotels in that area were not like letting the cats stay. Mm. So I decided last minute to stay in Airbnb. Now, I've never stayed in a tiny house. It's very aesthetic. I loved it. It was very cute. We were beset with issues.
And this episode is not sponsored by Airbnb.
Really not. I mean, and no shade to the woman who ran it. She was lovely. I showed up and the first thing she said to me was, I had to meet you because there's no key.
Oh.
We don't lock our doors here.
Oh.
Okay. And so I was just like, I'm fucked. Right? And I'm like, thank
you. You're God, like, I'm from New Jersey. Right. We like, triple lock our doors.
And then she's giving me a tour and we're right along Esopus Creek. And she goes, yeah, you know, with these storms coming in, we just have to watch for flooding.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I'm like, already on guard. And then she's giving us a tour of the tiny house. And what they neglected to mention in the description was that the room, the bed was up in the loft.
Right.
Which I can't get my cats up that ladder. And if I did, because they sleep with me, I would not trust that they wouldn't try to jump down. And,
oh,
like,
they absolutely would.
Because
my immediate thought was like, tiny house. Cats are going to have a really interesting, possibly good time exploring those levels.
Yes.
Because
well,
that's how they're...
Yeah. That, but yeah. In the interim, I did sleep on a couch for 3 nights because when I did... It was a pullout couch. But in my defense, when I pulled it out, the cats figured out how to get underneath and tried to crush themselves. So I did spend 3 nights sleeping on a couch while my daughter was upstairs. And... The final pièce de résistance, again, this has nothing to do with the show, okay? This is all, I was not aware that it had a compost toilet and no plumbing.
Oh my God, that should be red letters. That should be the first thing you see. Warning. No plumbing.
So she's giving us a tour and showing us how to use it. And all I said was, oh, like an RV? And she said, yes. I'm like, I could have rented an RV.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would
not next to a catastrophically flooding creek.
Correct.
Oh my God.
So yeah, so it was interesting. My daughter and I had an adventure and we decided that the two of us are my daughter goes, I won't be using this restroom. And I said, what are you going to do? And she goes, I will be holding it until we get to the horse show. I said, you'd rather use a porta potty? Then a compost toilet. And she goes, yep.
Where was the compost toilet?
So was it was it in the bathroom. They did have a designated bathroom with a shower. But, you know, I did not shower while we were there. I'm good. And so, I mean, the AC unit that like they had a mini split, thankfully, it was dripping condensation. So I would wake up to deep, deep, deep. And there's just like puddles all over the floor. So it was an actual shit show. And so when we got to the show on Saturday and it's downpouring, I'm like, well, of course it is. Like, of course. Yeah,
yes. Yes. That's how that's the point I was at.
Behind in the Airbnb they came with. Because I was like, if this bitch is flooding, my cats are not going to be stranded. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I will say, I also, funnily enough, decided I was going to bring my camera for the first time in like 2 years. And I was going to take pictures because, you know, I used to do that like professionally. And I had got this like new camera. I was like, I'm going to play with it. I'm going to set it up. Yeah. I didn't have a charger for the batteries. And so I get to the show, I start charging it. I got the camera working at like 40% battery 2 minutes before my daughter goes into the ring. And I had no time to set the settings, so the pictures were actual fucking crap. Aww. And now I'm determined to get back into photography just so I can improve because I'm embarrassed by
just
that.
So you and learn that camera too. Learn it who's boss.
Yeah. So I spent all morning kind of like going through and setting the settings that I would prefer to use for a horse show so that next time it's like set.
That's cool. You should get back into photography.
I think so. I kind of missed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always, you know, I have a nice camera that's probably outdated at this point. And so we went to Niagara Falls.
How was that? Did you see it? Because of the...
We were in it, bitch.
You were in it?
We became part of the falls.
You got wet?
Oh, girl. It was, number one, beyond any expectation I ever could have. I'm like, Niagara Falls, ha ha ha, so hokey, right? No. It's the coolest place on earth. I want a timeshare so that I can go there every year just for a week and just sit and stare at this waterfall.
It
and
is also mesmerizing.
Go in it. It's unbelievable. It's so good. And so, and there's like, it's funny because the New York side has like this really nice state park all along the banks, right? It's got a real sort of summer carnival kind of feel. It's really, really very upstate New York is all I can really say about that. And then there's a thing where you can literally go down an elevator and then walk on a platform that they build every summer and go into the freaking waterfall.
That's pretty cool.
It's amazing. There's a thing on it called the Hurricane Deck where you just it just batters you.
This sounds right up your alley, actually.
It was the greatest thing. Like, as soon as I saw it, because I was like, I think I want to go on the Maid of the Mist, you know? And then as soon as I saw this, I said, I got to do that. And so we did it. It was fantastic. And then we did the ship, but we did it from the Canada side because we didn't want to walk back across the bridge afterwards. And Corey, we saw the people, you know, sandwiched onto the Maid of the Mist. You know, they're like, they're on the top deck and there's, you know, you could be in behind like 12 people.
Oh, no.
It didn't make a whole lot of sense, right? I'm like paying $35 to go into this waterfall. I don't want to look at someone's head. So Corey's like, I know, I'll book priority booking. I'm like, that sounds amazing. Priority booking, we'll get a spot on the rail. So they lead us over to a little roped off area and they're like, they point at the boat that's come in and they're like, you see that empty front part of the boat there? I'm like, yeah. It's like, that's where you'll be. I was like, oh my God. They give you the front of the boat, like the whole front. Yeah, so there were like four of us and we had the whole front of the boat. It was insane.
You, VIP.
Oh my God, it was crazy. It wasn't, I mean, you're already spending $30 a head. It wasn't that much more to have the whole front of the boat. And then they just take you in like to what feels like a very unsafe position with these waterfalls going all around you. And then you just sit there for like 5 minutes and just get blasted.
That's cool.
I was scared. I'm not going to lie. The boat scared me.
I mean, I got blasted at the horse show and I didn't have to pay money. It was free.
Yeah. I just had this watching the water come down all around me. I was like, okay, I need to lean against the back of this boat. So I was actually really glad we were in the place that we were. So I had a wall to lean on and then I felt much better.
Like you weren't going to get tossed overboard.
Yeah, I don't know what I thought. I knew I stepped to the rail and I looked at the like swirling green waters and I thought, I need to have a wall at my back.
Be away from that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just need 2 feet before.
Well, that's like the people that go to the Grand Canyon and walk across those glass panels. I'm like, you couldn't pay me shit to do that.
No, no, absolutely not. And I like the Grand Canyon, but the Grand Canyon, I was like, okay.
I like it from afar. Yeah.
I went to the North Rim, which isn't supposed to be like as spectacular, but now it's all burned down, so I'm glad I saw it. And you know, it's quite, you lean on the wall and look over and you're like, Grand Canyon, okie dokie, you know, because it's really remote. Everything about it is far. There's certainly, you can't really see the river or anything. And I'm a water person.
Right.
And so to be just like in the water was really spectacular and just cool. Soothed me. And the fun thing is, and I'm going to say this, and I know I've been upstate New York, but we went on the ultimate hike for me. The ultimate hike for me is all stream, no ground. We went on a hike that was a stream you just walked through. Guys, this is genius. We need more hikes like this. My feet were cold and wet the whole time. I was wearing water shoes. I wasn't hot. And then there were waterfalls. And we were in this like gorge. And it was the greatest place I've ever been. And I want to go back a million times. So,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I like, I laugh when like my friends in Iceland say a hike. And I, you know, because a hike can mean a lot of different things. For me, a hike is a walk that doesn't include a lot of elevation and that, you know, is like, oh, look at the bird. Oh, let's stop to like touch the moss. Like that.
I definitely did all those things.
Like, and like, you know, maybe checking for a couple bullfrogs in the a little creek bed. So, yeah, I'm not one of those like, let's go to the top of the mountain as fast as we can hikers. Like, that's not me.
Like, just the view.
Right.
I always feel like I want to just go in a creek. And so we're in this Airbnb and I opened up a magazine. It was like Guide to the Finger Lakes because I didn't really know what was going on. And it was like, this walk is all in a creek. And I said, we're going here. We're going here immediately.
Corey, everything I've ever wanted.
It's right here. It's go in a creek. Yes, yes, yes. And I saw a salamander. Corey saw a snake. I did not. And we were picking our way, you know, it's rocks. So you're picking your way along the rocks very carefully so you don't break an ankle because you're old. And then like a 2-year-old in a diaper races past you. Like, oh, the age.
Oh, to have no fear. I know.
We're like, hang on, that has some moss on it. Go slow. Hold my hand.
I mean, I can't say anything because like I can't. Bend over because, without collapsing on my face.
You're damaged already.
No, it's I'm glad you had a better end to your week. I will say that like after 3 weeks, so I did Massachusetts, Rochester, New York round trip, and then the Saugerties round trip. I'm very excited for this coming weekend to be no driving.
Yeah.
Like at all. Like I'm exhausted and I just, well, now I have an excuse, you know, with my hands.
You have to recuperate.
I do because I got to be ready for this trip to Maryland for us. I got to be on game.
We're going to be in Maryland so soon. We were flying down and I was looking out the window and I thought, I think we're flying over like Western Maryland. We weren't, but I thought we were. And I thought, oh, I wish I was in Maryland. And then I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be in Maryland very just for a day. But I'm excited.
August
1st, I love Maryland.
We're tuning in. We're doing a book signing in Falston, Maryland at Rutledge Ridge Farm Saturday from, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.?
Yeah, something insane.
Something like
and
that.
And there's going to be, I noticed they have a new artist that's coming. So there's going to be multiple authors. There's going to be at least one artist, I think more.
And a whole like equestrian art. She said.
Yeah, it's a whole country fair.
It's going to be a lot
fet,
of fun.
If you will.
I was going to talk a little bit about the show and how hits went. And then very awkwardly, because it's summer, my daughter is sitting right here. And so, like, I don't want to talk about her in front of her face. But I also kind of want to invite her over to, like, talk about it.
Yes.
Can you please? Just for, please, like, a second?
Tell us what it's like to show at HIT. Some of us aren't that worthy. No.
Inquiring. Okay. Well, I'm getting turned down. Can I talk about it? Okay. I got permission. You heard it here.
That's nice.
So like we get there. So Saturday is like, you know, monsoons and I'd been getting updates all week about how her pony. Now, this is only his second rated show. He's done local shows over the last year, But last year we did Saratoga and it was a challenge. It was a challenge. It was his first ever off-property show like that.
And you gained a nemesis in Saratoga, right?
I have a nemesis.
That's right.
We'll talk about her at the barn.
Oh, great. I'm excited. Yeah.
We hate her with a fire of 1,000 thumbs. and this year, she's texting me and she's just like, Mom, I got to school him. He didn't need to be like drilled by the trainer for 2 hours. Mm. And, you know, they didn't have to give him that much perfect prep. And, you know, like rolled out like really great. But of course, the monsoon happens and hit their first class. He refuses like 3 jumps and got disqualified because it literally opened up while she started.
Oh, poor boy.
Yeah. And it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, he's like, what the, what are we doing here?
And, I mean, I have videos that I'm going to be posting on my Instagram because I have been gifted permission. But it's so funny because you could see the first one, it is, you know, pretty dry ground, but it's like a wall of water. And then the second one is a pool of water, but like a little bit of sun. And the third one is just like bad for everything.
He probably couldn't even focus like ocular. Like he's like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing.
And there was no traction. I mean, immediately, like even where we were sitting was getting flooded. Like it was coming up from the ground, like being flooded. Yeah. So, but they did great. Like with the exception of the first class, they came out and she really got after him. And her third ride was so damn good that afterwards, when they rode up, the judge came up to the trainer and said, damn, your kids can ride.
Oh, that's awesome.
He does that at an X show, like a Hunter. Yeah. And so then the next day it was sunny and hot, which he loves, and they were great. But like, I think they finally clicked. Like she really learned how to like get him forward and straight and then not back off of him when she got a little nervous. I loved it. I was so impressed by the two of them. And, the coolest thing, and I've said this to her face and I'm going to say it in front of her again, is that at no point was she worried about what placing she got. She just wanted to get him clean over the jumps and have him have a good experience. And like for me, that just makes her a star. So like I was so impressed.
That's all you can ask for. You know, it's just did everybody have a good time? Yep. And then the good times layer until, you know, adding in that excellent round is just it's just part of it because you've got a horse that's going, oh, I can do this 100% all the time.
Yeah, he loves it. And he always places better in the jumps than the flat because he doesn't like other horses.
yeah, and, that's understandable.
So, you know, it's one of those things where like he's definitely not a hunter type. He's, you know, they can do the eck, but her goal, I think, is eventually to take him to the jumpers because that's what he really likes to do.
Right.
And I think this was the first time her trainer and I have seen like that capability out of them together. So.
Yay!
Yes, so we'll see. It was a very pleasant, and I will say a nice side effect was the cats got a lot of desensitization because they got to meet so many people and horses. We did stick them, you know, in harnesses so they can kind of stick their faces out, and they did pretty good. So
that's awesome. I am, you know, I came home feeling kind of energized.
Yeah.
I think being outside the water got me. Yeah. Just, I was outside a lot. I was walking a lot. I was like, came home and thought, yeah, you know what? I think I might start messing around with my horse.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I, last night I brought Ben up and I groomed him and he said, oh no. And then I put his boots on and he said, oh no, no, no. And I put on the lunge line and I said, let's go do a little trip trot in a circle and look at your flabby muscles for a little bit. And so we did. I mean, it was 1000% humidity, obviously. So we didn't do very much, but he's been out for 2 months, like fully 100% out because of the quarter crack. And so that's healed up. And I said, son, you got to do something because
back in it, boy.
You got a little bit of a rotund tummy there and
little pregnant belly.
Oh my God. I don't even want to know. I have to do a new sheet for my farm sitter. She fed them so much hay and we have so much grass and there's no hay. I'm like, where the hell's all the hay? How much was she giving you? I said, you're getting a handful from me, buddy boy. So, yeah, we're doing a new sheet because before I go away next weekend. But it felt good. I was like, okay, I'm going to lend you. And then I said, you know, I fritter about this, that, and the other thing. I think I'm going to throw an all-purpose saddle on you and just just do some stuff and stop worrying so much about, like, is this what we should be doing? Is this what he wants to do? Like, you know, we all do things we don't want to do. Right now, you just need to get in shape. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm struggling.
Same, girl. Like, same. I need to get in shape because in, like, 2 weeks, I'm going to be riding horses across Iceland and not fit.
Oh,
not
no. Fit you should probably go out and do a hack every day if you can.
I should. You know what's so funny?
Stretch out those hips.
Now I have an open wound on my hand. So, like.
Oh, you can ride with one hand. I have faith in you.
Yeah, because in the summer, a lot of times, I'll ride like him Western and we'll do practicing with that kind of stuff. So, like, I'll just ride him with my non-dominant hand and, like, that's not a recipe for disaster. It'll be fine.
No. You know, I can't explain it, but when I ride one-handed, I ride with my left hand. A hand which otherwise shouldn't even exist. I do nothing with my left hand. When I ride one-handed, I ride with my left hand.
I sometimes will ride with my right hand because I am left-hand dominant. So I can take pictures and videos with my left hand.
I really can't.
Even one-handed. I'm using it because there's a phone in my other hand.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. No, even since I was a kid, like I've always, if I hold them one-handed, I hold them my left hand. It's just automatic. And I don't know why. Because, yeah, if I were to hold the reins in my right hand and try to take a picture with my phone, I would drop my phone.
Now, can I ask you a question? And this is very niche because we're both English writers, but, like, obviously I've ridden Western and all the things. When I ride one-handed, I cross my reins so that, like, I can, like, I have an equal amount of rein. Like, I cross them. I don't just, like, bunch them up, right? Do you cross?
Yeah, absolutely. Them? Yes, 100%.
Yeah. That's what I do. Even when I'm riding Western, if I have single reins, I loop them, like, so that they're over each other, and I'll hold them in one hand.
Well, I mean, tidiness above all else, number one.
That's very true.
Yeah, you kind of bring it up and you give it a little, or sometimes I'll just scoop it over the top. And because I didn't learn how to, like, really cross my reins until I was a teenager and I was riding cross country and how to, like, take across. But that's a two-handed thing anyway. It's different. But
yeah,
it always felt natural to me. Like, no one ever showed me what to do. I just was like, oh, I scoop them up like this and I give it a little crossover.
Yeah, it's just easier. And then I feel like I have better contact. Mm-hmm. Like, if, you know, I've seen, like, the split reins, and there's, in Western riding, if you tie your split reins, you're like a newbie, right? Like, that's like a job. But I've never done that. I've always just crossed them anyway.
I have to say, split reins feels to me a little bit like an unnecessary test of horsemanship. Do you know?
But it's good if you have to get off and tie them to something.
No, 100%.
And it's
but the whole, yeah, the whole concept of, like, oh, well, if you're a good enough rider, you keep them together and you don't have to worry about dropping one and leaning forward and falling over your horse's shoulder. I'm like, yeah, but do I need to worry that much? Like,
right. And I've seen riders, and this is in Mongolia, her rein broke.
Yeah.
As we were leaving one of the, like, the stops for water break, and I watched it, and she's, like, full gallop, and her rein just, like, snaps off into the mist, and she's just galloping with, like, one rein and the mane, and she's just go, because, let's be honest, they don't really steer well anyway, those Mongolian horses. So I was like, at this point, like, control is literally a theory at this point.
Yeah, you're galloping at a certain point, then you are waiting for the horse to come back to you anyway, and then you'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, rawhide reins, they're not really meant to stay. So, and did you ever do this? So, because I'm a bit of a timid rider, when I first got back into horses, like in my 30s, my trainer totally busted me because I would grip, like, she would be like, okay, trot, and I would literally pull and take more contact with the rein. So she would start tying my reins and I'd have to ride with just my body and leg.
Oh, yeah. That's normal. Yeah.
Right. And so, nice thing about that now is I ride both my horses with just, like, you know, clear, easy contact with, like, very little pull, and, like, more of a longer rein.
Yeah.
But horses, I don't know. Sometimes I find myself, like, almost second guessing it. And I'm like, wait. What is this bullshit your brain's telling you? It's like lying to you.
Yeah. It's like, what's going to happen? You have more of a grip on a horse's mouth. That's not
the grip on the mouth is literally a joke.
Do anything.
Because that's no control of their body.
No, and they can pull harder than you can pull. Is this a war you want to get into?
My daughter learned that lesson when she was 6 years old and she got rolled down the horse's neck. I was a little Shetland pony and that was her first and only fall. And she still laughs about it to this day.
I tell you, I don't know about, I grew up before grazing reins. Now you see kids wearing, you know, their ponies have grazing reins. We were not so lucky.
I've never used a grazing rein in my life.
They didn't exist when we were kids. They came out like, I think when we were probably 13, 14 years old, we were already past that. But I remember them showing up in like state line tag and going, what the hell?
I mean, the new generation is so lucky, right? Like,
they really
I
are.
Martingale. I've been running so long that we had the pull-on rubber boots.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the nice boot. And then we had clip-on ties and the velvet-covered helmet.
You didn't have a real velvet helmet, Heather?
No, I'm sorry. It was real velvet. Yeah, no, it was real velvet. Like, it wasn't...
I'm like, you used one of the covers.
No, Heather. It was just velvet covers. Like, it was velvet.
Yeah. I had the most beautiful velvet helmet. Gorgeous. It was an international. It had a leather harness.
As it does.
It was the style they called mushroom. Remember? Because it was the first one that was like super highly rated.
And harness.
Like, oh, so classy. I looked terrible in it because I looked bad in helmets anyway. And that one was enormous. But it was fancy. I used to run my fingers along it.
It was funny. I was joking around with my daughter because we were going through the professional photos. And I was like, why are you looking down in every single jump? And she goes, Mom, I'm not. You just can't see it because of the lid of my helmet is covering my eyes. And I was like, you had to lid your helmet. I had to ride with no lid. And I basically raining in my face.
Oh, she had like a big visor?
She has a big visor on her helmet. Yeah.
Those crack me up. Okay. You ride
it's
the big visor.
One.
You like, look like Laura Ingalls Wilder crossing the prairie with your sunbonnet.
No. Well, you know, because I was just at a hunter show. Oh, boy, did I see some big ass visors. I mean, there was some choices in fashion that I'm just like, oh, wow, we're at a hunter show. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're at a hunter show when you roll up and then like you see three jumpers because they're all in white. and you're thinking yourself like, wow, I could never be a jumper because I would stain the shit out of that real quick.
I tell you, I mean, wearing all white just screams I have six grooms. Sorry, I don't know how you're doing it.
You know what? I found a trick. This is a little horse show hack that I found. Apparently, some of my barn mates were walking around with Clorox wipes.
Yeah,
and like that's what they were cleaning their breeches and everything off with.
That is way too much work.
I was
no. I'm wearing dark colors. I'm not putting up with this anymore. This is nonsense.
Well,
I mean, I'm wearing
being the horse show mom, and I now get to tax deduct this trip because I worked on a shit ton of horses while I was up there, is that I can wear whatever I want. So it was funny. I was talking to Zoe and she goes, Mom, make sure you wear like your riding breeches and like, you know, clothing that so people know that you're like an equestrian. So I'm not like an outsider.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was just like, okay, but I'm also not going to look like I'm trying to be a rider here this weekend too, because I don't want someone to like mistake me for knowing what the fuck I'm doing. And it's funny because I was sitting there, you know, I'm ringside and I got my camera and I'm just like, oh, look at that flying lead change. Oh, look at this. And the other moms, none of them really are horse riders.
Yeah.
And so I gave them my best tool, which is between trips, do not try to speak to your child. Just leave them the fuck alone.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Because 100%. One thing I've learned is that you will never say the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's right, it's wrong. And your kid will scream at you and you will be to blame. So it's just best to avoid the situation and talk to them afterwards.
And all you can do, if you don't know what you're talking about anyway, all you're doing is parroting stuff that the trainer has already said.
Yeah. So it's just,
you know, you're like, honey, I think that you should, you know, keep your heels down more, honey. I know. Oh, my God. You know, like it's not going to end well for anybody. And then stressed.
What's my course? I said, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole because I don't want to be blamed. I will say I did find on Sunday that I was getting rather annoyed by certain trainers. Not mine because she's an angel and I love her. But there was one trainer who was doing a siren sound.
What?
She was going, and I'm going to step back from the microphone to avoid her, but she was going, after every run.
What?
Every trip.
Where's the decorum? What are we doing here?
I'm like, what the fuck? And it's fine if it's your horse. Like, it's fine. I have a half-blind pocket rocket, okay? And you just saw him refuse this jump. And so now the fact that she made it clear over this run, you're going to wait till he comes in front of you and you're going to make a siren sound. I turned to her and I said, no.
I hope so. Yeah.
I told her to shut the fuck up.
Oh, my God.
And then there was another set of trainers. They had their golf cart. They're waiting for the class after my daughter's. And I do kind of know these people, but like not in the way that like we're friendly. Like I know of them, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they had their walkie-talkies up so loud, you could not even hear the announcer. And all I'm thinking is like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like if someone did this doing your kids' runs and trips, would you be pissed? So as I found myself getting annoyed, I decided that I was not going to embarrass my child. I was going to take myself away, myself in a little timeout.
Yeah.
Because I cannot with some of these entitled bitches.
I was thinking about, you know, people who listen to music without earbuds or whatever, you know, on their phone. They're just like, what I should do while I'm in this public place is turn up whatever's on my phone as loudly as possible so everyone has to hear it. And it has, you know, it has come to me gradually over time that these people were, they were, it's not a question of they don't know to use headphones or whatever. It's that they just, they have no concept of caring whether or not somebody else is inconvenienced by them. And, you know, that's what you're speaking of. Somebody who whoops like a siren at a hunter show? Are you, like, feel like I'm taking crazy pills. That can't be a thing. Mm-hmm. And yet there are people doing this and no one else, you know, the people who have some sense of manners and concept of other people around them, we're the ones that don't say anything because we don't want to get into people with who can't be anything but offended because they don't have a sense of right or wrong. They're just people who will take offense and freak out at you.
Parents, that it's okay to do that shit.
Right, right. Not.
This is like golf. You don't clap. You don't.
It used to be, but now, you know, if nobody is enforcing, if nobody's, you know, there's no elder trainer stepping up.
Ringside.
Right, right. There's no steward. There's no judge calling down and being like, what the hell's going on down there? All of the, which, you know, used to happen when I used to show, you know, there were rules and there were rule enforcers and there were manners at shows. Like it was a mannerly place. It's like, you're in the warm up ring. You save all your shenanigans for the warm up ring where you behave like a total psychopath to everyone.
Oh my God. Okay. Wait, I have a story about the warm up ring too. So it was before the rain. And it was really small. So they had one side was the jumping. The other side was for the flat and like a little cross rail. Like, so there was like five or six kids all in the tiny part of the ring. And there was at least two horses that like to kick, right? And our girls are really good. I will give them credit because they're used to riding with boarders, with other lesson students. They're used to calling their corners. They're used to calling their direction. They're used to calling and giving space. Okay.
Right.
I don't know if you're of the school, but if you are riding slow, you go to the inside.
Of course.
The faster the gate, the more on the outside on the rail you are. Okay. So our girls are cantering around and there's these two girls in like $150,000 horses. Okay. So, you know, clearly they were there for the ribbons and they did win everything.
Congratulations, girls.
Walking around on the outside. And then this one girl goes to my trainer, excuse me. Can you please ask your kids to be careful? My horse is getting very annoyed. Bitch, you're in the wrong spot. And my trainer just smiles and nods and she looks at me and I'm just like, like, we're not saying anything, but like, where's your trainer? Like, where's
Well, that's the thing, right? Nobody says anything.
I know.
And it's like that everywhere with everything.
You know, I don't want to be like schooling someone else's kids.
Yes, somebody else is an asshole. And then they just continue to be an asshole because we don't want to be assholes. To them.
So you're telling me that I need to be an asshole?
No, because that's scary. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is
how
society works, right? Is people are terrible and they continue being terrible because the nice people don't want to be terrible to the terrible people.
They don't call them out on it. Yeah.
Exactly. Because we don't want to start a thing and be in the whole thing.
And no matter how big you are, they'll take it wrong because they'll be all defensive because they know they were wrong and no one likes to be wrong.
Yeah, no, you can't tell somebody they're wrong because then they're just going to
there's very defensive accountability, and there's a lot of entitlement, and it doesn't matter. I'm going to preface. It doesn't matter what type of show you're at.
Oh, no, definitely not.
On the street or driving on the road.
Exactly.
People are – I'm embarrassed sometimes to be human at this point. Like, it's just really a shame.
Well, we've reached that part of the show where we're embarrassed to be human. So
we should talk about adulting wins, okay? Because
okay. I have an adulting win.
You do?
Actually, I have a lot of adulting wins, but I'm going to go with the one that is nearest to hand.
Okay.
And that is this cup of coffee. Because, Heather, a couple weeks ago, I asked my son to pick me up a bag of this flavored coffee. I don't drink flavored coffee, number one. But there was a flavored coffee at Joffrey's, which is they're like a little roaster that brews coffee, and they're a vendor at Disney World, right? So they have this cold brew that I really, really love that I can only get there. It has a little bit of flavor in it. And you can't buy the cold brew anywhere else. And I said, Calvin, will you please get me a bag of beans? And it turned into a whole thing because they only had ground. And he went back and got me the ground because he didn't realize I wasn't being so specific. But the point is, I finally tried it yesterday. I put it into my cold brew pitcher, and it's fucking fantastic. It tastes like not quite what I would get at Disney, but pretty close.
Okay.
This is a huge adulting win for me. I am thrilled to bits. I'm going to be at Disney again in a few days, and I'm going to buy more bags of this coffee.
As you should.
As I should. And that, yes, this caffeinated beverage is my adulting win of the week. I feel great.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
I continue to hope to be sponsored by Dr. Pepper.
Oh, I had Dr. Pepper last week because apparently everyone in upstate New York sells Pepsi. What is happening in New York? No, I thought this was a bastion of civilization. No, and instead I see Pepsi everywhere. I had Dr. Pepper.
Nothing against Pepsi, but no, I'm a Coke girl and I will stay a Coke girl. And that's bullshit.
Everything against Pepsi.
It's too
full offense.
No. It's
disgusting.
There's nothing that beats a crisp Coca-Cola.
You're period. Absolutely correct. Yes.
And so, yeah, they could sponsor me too. I'm in.
Yeah.
But no, I think the adulting win of the week is that I had my first fall in 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Off of a horse.
Oh, that's true.
You know, standing still. But now I feel like it's enough that my horse timer is reset as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally get that. Like your gravity reset.
Correct.
Yeah. You hit the ground violently and you're like, okay.
Like I had my done that. And now it's over with.
Yes.
And I can be good for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to inform Ferris of that memo. So
you're like Ferris.
He needs to be in line with that line of thinking, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, no, my adulting win is I'm going to take my daughter to the barn today and we're going to spend some time there.
I love that.
No lessons, just vibes. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to, see where the day takes us. So
I hope that's good for you. Let's talk real quick about where we're going to be in the next couple of weeks, months, right? Because we're going to be August 1st. We have Rutledge Ridge Farm in Fallston, Maryland for the Equestrian Horse Country Book Fair, whatever it's called.
Book and Market Fair. So it's going to be like a whole vendor fair too.
Yes, it's going to be really awesome. And I really hope lots of people come because
me too.
I'm flying up there and I want to see people.
Well, and I've been preparing with lots of little blind date with the books and I've been getting some fun little things. I am also, as you know, planning for your visit to my house.
Yes.
And I'm planning to introduce you to my horses.
Yay, finally. Horses.
Finally get to meet them.
The New Jersey horses.
I know. Don't worry. Yeah. That will come with attitude, just like you expect.
I'm so looking forward to this. I'm going to be doing a book signing at Barnes & Noble in Wesley Chapel, Florida, which is near Tampa, on August 15th.
Ooh, that's
which is
exciting.
A Saturday. And then we're doing what? Oh, and then I have one more thing without you, unfortunately, unless you want to come, which is October 10th? October 10th at the Barnes & Noble in Ocala with Susan Friedland.
That's exciting. I have my birthday party that day.
Oh, that's right. We always have trouble that weekend, don't we?
Yeah, well, because it's like your anniversary, my birthday. Mm-hmm. No, but that's super exciting. And Susan's great. She will also be here at the Maryland event.
That's right. She'll be at the Maryland event. We do everything with Susan. She's like
I'll be in Iceland in August, so I'll be out of commission for a little bit.
That's right. And then?
And then we're going to be – I'm game time for Equine Affair. I feel
Equine
like –
Equine Affair.
We have to have a real powwow this weekend when you come visit and sit down and make some plans, because I feel like we're going to blow it out of the water this
week. Yeah, we're cooking pretty hard for Equine Affair Massachusetts. Right. So if you are in the Northeast, you really don't want to miss that, because it's a good time anyway, but like –
It's a better time when you have, like, you know, friends who try to adult and we're just, like, not serious about it.
No. And we've pressed my husband into attendance so that we have a truck and an extra pair of hands. So stuff's happening.
I'm starting to think about booth design, and we're starting to, like, put some fun stuff together.
Yeah.
We got some really good things cooking. So I'm excited. So. And then, of course, you know, it's a little bit farther off, but we've got our cruise.
The cruise. Next year.
So, you know, we do have early bird pricing and some fun little gifts, and you know, we do have a limited number of spots, so I encourage people who are interested to just put down a $250 deposit just to hold your spot, and you know, and come have fun with us.
Come have fun.
The most fun.
This is going to be like there's going to be a lot happening, and you can join us for, you know, dumb stuff like morning coffee or evening cocktails. Or, you know, we're going to do some horse people events, and it's just a nice time of year to just like say, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to go to the Caribbean for a hot minute and just like get the hell out of here.
Who doesn't want to go to the Caribbean in the middle of the summer?
Yeah.
You know? I don't want to be home.
Yeah. I have rules about leaving in July and August because it's just hot. I just need to go somewhere and put my feet in the water. Or in the case of the Caribbean, put my entire body in the water.
Oh, like Caribbean water. I'm very excited about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited, too, because a lot of our friends are going to be there. And I'm excited to meet some of the friends we haven't met yet. So for those listeners who we haven't got to meet in person, like, this would be such a great opportunity for us to hang out and for us to get to know each other in real life.
Yeah, just sit around and hang. It's going to be fun.
Literally, that's what we do best.
That's
actually.
Like the whole goal. Yeah, that's like our challenge.
I'm really good at sitting.
What do you do best? Well, I like to hold court. So if you just like give me a sofa, put a drink in my hand,
cocktail.
And you just come to me, we will just talk.
And you know what? I'll read your tarot cards, because I did that in Alaska. Sure. I read like 5 people's tarot cards, and like I don't want to pat myself on the back, but like they were pretty happy with it. And I think
that's pretty awesome. I'm going to have you read my tarot cards next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's freaking go. I'll let you pick your deck. I have like 12.
Yay.
So lots of good things coming for us. And, you know, we just celebrated 100,000 downloads.
Oh, my God.
For the podcast. We've only been doing this 4 years. And so we have to give credit where credit is due. And that's to you guys who listen to us, you know, just talk about horses and our lives. And so thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This is like an amazing, like, full-time job that pays us nothing. So it's exactly like
the labor of love.
A real job.
You know what? I can think of worse things than to spend an hour talking to you twice a month.
I appreciate that. That's actually really kind. I don't think anybody's ever said that to me before.
Out loud. Yeah. You usually say things about you behind your back, but it's fine.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't hear much about myself because everything is said behind my back.
Never. You know I'm good for saying it to your face. So, you know, it has truly been lovely. And I'm so excited we're doing this together. And a big thank you to everybody who participates with us.
Thank you, guys. We love you.
Thank you for being a little weird with us, Horse Girl. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on your player of choice. Follow us on Instagram at Adulting with Horses Podcast, or even better, join our Adulting with Horses Clubhouse on Facebook, where you can become part of the show. Also, it's a great place to meet other horse crazy women.